Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson. On Utah's home for elevated conversation. Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
As confidence in our university systems continues to fall, there may actually be a remedy underneath the headline there that should be the center of more of our conversations. And could it be that diversity among religious perspectives and those perspectives having a real seat at the table among decision makers, policy makers, could that actually, having faith have a seat at the table, help remedy the problems plaguing many of our college campuses? I think it's worth giving it a chance. As someone who's taken a deep dive look at all of this, Paul Lambert, of course, is the Religion Initiative Director at the Wheatley Institute, faculty member at the Marriott School of Business at Brigham Young University, and joins us on the line. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Great piece at Deseret.com, giving this whole idea of giving faith a chance a chance. Let's talk about that in terms of this idea of pluralism being part of the solution when it comes to many of the struggles we're seeing on college campuses today.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. We do see pluralism as a key component here. One of the things that we're missing currently on college campuses and many of the really troubling scenes that we're seeing is a lack of pluralism, right? An inability to recognize someone's religious identity and give it the respect and that it deserves, and create an environment of pluralism, of religious freedom. And when you take that away, you see the really disturbing images that we're seeing across university campuses today.
Yeah, I loved one of the things that you and your colleague Stephen Courtwright pointed out in your piece. And that is that not only have we seen the rise in anti-Semitism, but we've also seen Islamophobia and other kinds of prejudice and persecution on college campuses. So talk to us a little bit in terms of how we reframe that conversation and how do we get to that point where faith can be included as a dimension of diversity?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. And, you know, unfortunately, many college campuses across America for many years now have not always been friendly to faith. And there's a number of reasons that we could talk about for that. But the main thing is the main message here is we need to recognize that faith and belief are core to who people are. And this is not just true on college campuses. It's true in any context. If we want people to thrive, in this case, if we want them to be the best students they can be, if we want them to be able to contribute as faculty members, as staff and administrators, we need to recognize who they are. And a big component of frankly, most individuals is their faith and belief. That's how they see themselves. That's how they see the world. And so if we could create an environment where people feel confident and comfortable and able to live according to those beliefs, then we're creating an environment where people are better able to contribute, better able to be students and professionals. And yeah, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, and that's so important. It's so easy to say, well, you can have your faith, but just, you know, keep it in your closet, in your house, in your synagogue, in your church or chapel. And for individuals to be able to take their whole authentic self into the public square, to take that divine identity into the public square, I think is so important. And one of the things that I loved that you pointed out was the fact that faith traditions have a history, a long history, of being some of the great champions of social justice and human dignity. Describe that for us.
Yeah, so there's so many examples we could give. And the one that we point to immediately, which is just such a powerful example, of course, is Martin Luther King. You know, we all revere Martin Luther King for the wonderful work he did in civil rights. And for him, this wasn't just about civil rights. This was a religious call, right? He was arguing for equality because he believed that all people were children of God, that they were equal before God. And that is, you know, there are many examples of that throughout world history. That these religious ideas that we're all equal before God, that we're all brothers and sisters, are really at the heart of so many movements that value the person, that value each individual despite our diversity. In fact, we value them because of that diversity and that God made diversity, right? So religion really is a core component of many of the advancements we've made in humanity along equality lines.
Yeah, and I think there's that earned empathy that comes from a lot of different religious groups. You point out the fact that just here in America that Muslims and Catholics, Latter-day Saints, have that earned empathy from experience, that political persecution, social oppression, and that can help change the conversation in terms of how we look at this so it doesn't just become one more battle of oppressor, oppressed, who offended who was wronged first, so that we can actually get to the forward-moving conversations.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, what we're arguing for here is not that we need to all be the same. We don't need to all agree on things. Rather, we're suggesting that there is always going to be diversity. There's always going to be difference. That is a constant. That is not going to change. There's no future, right, in which we all agree, whether it's religiously or politically or any other context. The thing that we need to do is show that empathy, show understanding, recognize that the goal isn't agreement. The goal is civility. The goal is recognition of that dignity. And if that's our goal, then we can again disagree, but we can recognize that we're part of a larger unit. Whether that's democracy, that's a community. Whether that's a university, whether it's a workplace. If we can acknowledge that dignity, then we can create spaces where people can thrive despite the difference.
I think it's so important that we get to that whole concept that oneness is not sameness. And it's when we value those differences that everybody has a voice, everyone gets a seat at the table and a voice at the table, and we get out of this zero-sum game where if you're doing a little better, that means I must be doing a little bit worse. It's such a fake fight and a false choice. And so as we round things out, Paul, give us something that we all ought to think about today. Think different or do different as it relates both to how we consume the news that's going on about our college campuses and then what we ought to be doing, not just concerned about college campus, but our own kitchen table.
Yeah, so the thing I'll point to, there's many things we can do, but one quick one is I think we can look beyond the labels and try and understand what's the experience of the person that we're engaged with, whether that's someone that we know very well, a family member, a friend, or someone that we're engaging with in a more formal way. We're all very quick to make judgments about what we think we know about that person, but what really is at play? What can we do? What questions can we ask? How can we be respectfully curious to understand who is this person? How can I give this person dignity? And I think if that's our approach, that's a first step in creating an environment in any environment, any context that can lead to better, more peaceful outcomes. And frankly, at a macro level, a better democracy.
I absolutely love that. I think it is having that kind of radical curiosity, as you said, Paul, about what is their experience? What is this person's experience? Why do they think that way? Why does she believe that's a good solution? Why is he concerned about this? Once we get the blinders off and we start to get radically curious, it is a better day for the democracy, to be sure. Paul Lambert, Religion Initiative Director at the Wheatley Institute, faculty member at the Marriott School of Business at Brigham Young University. Paul, great piece, fantastic thinking and writing. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Boyd. Great to be here.
All right, and that's Paul Lambert from the Wheatley Institute. And this is really some great thinking in terms of how we think differently about what's going on our college campuses, how we approach and how we make sure that faith is a dimension of diversity, is part of those crucial conversations. That kind of pluralism will get us to far better solutions and a real lasting peace. We'll be right back.